you. We're passing out the scriptures that I'm going to use today. I like to do that because I think it's a lot easier than trying to flip through your Bible to find them, so I put them all in one place. Is that okay? Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for coming to my workshop. It's very humbling. And when I saw the title that Nancy had given me to speak on, Remain Pure and Ethical, it just hit right here. Because as I said the other night, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, my prayer was, God, give me a clean heart, or give me a pure heart. And for the last 30-some years, that's been my prayer. God, give me a pure heart and give me clean hands. And you know, many times when we approach God, it's always asking for things, asking for this and asking for that. And I do ask God for things occasionally, and I pray for my family and I pray for others. But my prayer, clothe me, Lord, in your humility. Clothe me in your meekness. Clothe me in your kindness. Clothe me in your gentleness. You know, there's not a lot of gentleness in the world today. There's not a lot of kindness in the world today. But that's my prayer. And above all, God, that you would clothe me in your love. Amen. 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 Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for this moment in time that you have given us. I thank you, Lord, for every ear in the house. I thank you, God, that I ask you, God, that you would open up our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning, Lord God. And Father, let me speak with clarity. Let me speak with simplicity. I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, God, that abides within. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for understanding, because you said in all of your getting, get understanding. So give us understanding today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for the infallible, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's inerrant. The Word of God is incapable of being wrong. Amen? Amen. That's something to shout about, y'all. It's infallible. It's incapable of being wrong. And when we allow the Word of God to come into our hearts and into our lives, guess what? Our lives are changed. I mean, you're one thing one moment, and the next thing you have been transformed into the image of our Heavenly Father. Amen. So the Word of God brings light, it brings purity, it brings holiness, but we just have to participate with God so that His Word can do that perfect work on the inside of us. Amen? We have to participate. It's not a one-sided relationship. Sometimes we have friendships with people and the relationship is one-sided. They talk about themselves, they talk about their achievements. But they don't even know what your achievements are because they haven't given you a chance to even say what they are. But praise God, our relationship with our Father should not be that way. Amen. So this morning I'm going to show you how we can have, in the 21st century, how we can all have a pure heart. And you know, the world says differently. You know, much of the world doesn't even believe in the Bible. And they don't believe that in this hour, in this season, that we can have pure hearts and clean hands. But we can. Amen. If you want a good life, you must have a good heart. If you have a good heart, you will have a pure heart. If you have a pure heart, you will have a clean heart. And I wish that those were my words, but they're not. They're Derek Prince's. If anybody has ever heard him say that. All right, so Matthew 5:8. Blessed, I believe we're all familiar with the scripture. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Do you have integrity in your life? Do you have moral character in your life? You know, many times people are placed in a position because of the anointing that's on them. Say you have an anointing to sing. And sometimes prematurely people are put in positions because they have a gift and they are anointed. But what about your character? See, your character will keep you where the anointing won't. Did you get that? Amen. Your character will keep you where the anointing will not. Amen. So character and integrity is really, really important. Everything in life, every issue comes out of our heart. So whatever you have in your heart, guess what? It's going to determine the course of your life. Whatever's in your heart will determine the course of your life. So you cannot have wrong things in your heart and live right. You cannot have right things in your life and live wrong, right? Amen. It's okay for y'all to say amen, okay? I need it. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you cannot have right things in your life and live wrong. So that a mind that has been transformed by the power of the Word of God will produce a transformed life. My scripture reference this morning is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man stay pure? Only by living, and I think this is the Passion Translation. How can a young man stay pure? Only by living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. Verse 10, I have longed for you with the passion of my heart. Don't let me stray from your directions. God, I long for you. Don't let me stray from the directions that you've given us in your word. Has anybody in here ever been on the interstate and got off at the wrong exit? Oh, that's a pain in the neck, isn't it? Sometimes we miss God's direction and we get off at the wrong exit. Sometimes God puts warning signs out there on the highway and we don't see them. We go right through them. Bridge out ahead, you know, and we just keep going. So we have to be careful that we're getting the directions that God has given to us and we're following them to the T. Verse 11. I consider your prophecies, or your word, I consider your prophecies to be my greatest treasure. Is the word of God the greatest treasure that you have and I have? It should be considered the greatest treasure that we have. And I will memorize them and I will write them on my heart to keep me from committing sins, treason against you. I'm going to take the word of God. I'm going to write them on my heart to keep from it committing treason against God. So that's what the Lord would have us to do. The last, I don't have the scripture reference for this, but your word, God, well, it's the same passage. Your word, God, I've hidden in my heart. I hide the word of God in my heart so that, what? I do not sin against you. When I was working in academia for a local university, we had a building where a lot of the records, the college records, were kept. And I didn't like going to that building because in the very basement there was a vault. And it was absolutely huge. And the door was, you know, that thick. And every once in a while I would have to go down to the vault to find a record, to get somebody's record and bring it upstairs and so forth. And they would always leave the door open, but still, it was so vast, and just walking inside of that thing gave me the heebie-jeebies, if you know what I mean. So I'd go in there real quick and try to find the records, whatever I needed, and made a beeline to get out of there. The word hidden means vault. It means seal, S-E-A-L. The word of God should so be hidden in us, it should be like a vault. We've taken the word, and it's in that vault. And guess what? Nobody can take that word out of there. No one can remove that word from that vault. Amen? So I thought that that was a really, really great analogy. So your word, God, I hide it in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Amen. Is it possible for a young man, and I believe woman as well, but the scriptures had said, specifically said, a young man, how can a young man stay pure? But is it possible for a young man to stay pure or a woman? Psychology and sociology will say it's not possible in this century for people to stay pure. But it is pure. In the kingdom of God, it is pure. It is possible. My two younger sons, praise God, when they were married, they were pure. That's not heard of. One of the pastors that married my youngest son, he was a pastor for IHOP, International House of Prayer. And he said in all the couples he had married and couples he had counseled, he said, this is a rarity, even with believers, even in the house of God. So it is possible to stay pure and to keep yourself. They say it's natural in a man to indulge his sexual life and give his fleshly desires, bring them to fruition. They say it's natural, right? That's what the world says? Young man? Okay. But, you know, it's absolutely not true. It's not the word of God. We have to meet the Lord's conditions if we want to remain pure and if we want to remain ethical. You know, we cannot deliberately expose ourselves to things that would contaminate us. Amen? We cannot deliberately expose ourselves to things that would defile us or contaminate us. Why? There's not hardly anything you can watch on television anymore these days. You know, we watch Andy Griffith and some of the old westerns because most of what's on TV will defile us or corrupt us. Amen? Anybody in agreement with me? Even cartoons. Many of the cartoons are demonic, right? Amen. But especially with television shows. And what other countries say about America? They say America is obsessed with sex. And that's the truth. Look at the commercials even. Amen. God help us. God help us. Therefore, we must guard our heart. Put a guard around your heart. You can't allow everything that's out there in to your heart. Amen? You can't sneak downstairs at night when everybody's in bed and look at pornography. Amen? But I know people that do that. I've known people that did that. And it will destroy you, it will destroy your marriage, it will destroy your family. Everything that we do in secret, guess what? God sees it. We're not getting away with anything because he's right there. He sees and knows everything. And, you know, we're all adults here. I've heard pastors, people in ministry, say that we watch pornography. Oh, it's just my wife and I, but we watch pornography. Now, you may throw some arrows at me this morning, but it's not necessary. If you truly love one another, the God kind of love for one another, what's that love for a husband? Which one is it? Eros? Is it Eros? For a husband or a wife? Yeah. You love each other that way. You don't need pornography. You don't need these other stimulants and all the stuff the world has to offer. Okay, I'll move on. I'll move on. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, is your speech gracious? Will have the king as his friend. God's going to be your friend if you love purity of heart and your speech is gracious, you will have the king as a friend. 1 Peter 1:22. By your obedience to the truth, guess what? You have purified yourselves. So that's how purification comes, by obeying God's word. Whatever God's word says about so-and-so, love your enemy, bless them that curse you. If you obey the word of God, God says you're purifying yourself. You may not realize it, but you're purifying yourself. For years, Michael and I would read through the Bible for the year. We'd go through, you know, we just made that a part of our daily devotional. And, you know, we got some flack about that. People said things like, oh, you're being religious. Oh, it's just a legal thing for you. No, it wasn't a legal thing for me. You know, that's what my heart desired. I desired to be in his word. I read the begats. I read the names that I couldn't pronounce. Amen? Amen. Amen. You just love the word and you say, God, whatever it is you want to show me today, show me in your word. And sometimes there were things he showed me. Sometimes, some days there weren't. But the fact that I wanted to discipline myself and get into the habit of being in his word, that word is changing you on the inside, whether you realize it or not. He's changing your motives. He's changing your attitudes about things. I mean, let's face it, sometimes we don't have right attitude about certain things. Amen? But when you are in his word on a consistent basis, it is changing, it is transforming your life. Amen. The condition of our hearts will affect our vision or our sight. So if you're not seeing real clear, tell me what's in your heart. You know, if your vision's not real clear, take a look. Do a self-examination to see what may be in your heart. So whatever you embrace in your heart, you will go after. And like, I think it's Joyce Myers that says, whatever's in your mind, the body will follow. Whatever your thoughts are, that's where you're going to go, right? Whether it's good or bad, whether it's positive or negative, whatever thoughts are in your mind that you carry, that's going to present a certain type of behavior. Okay. Michael and I did a conference years ago in Kenya, and it was just for pastors and bishops and their wives and so on and so forth. And we were just dumbfounded with Christians. And I guess culture has a lot to do with it. But we were talking about marriage. And most of the men, they were very vocal about their feelings. And they thought that what Bill Clinton had done was okay. Well, it's okay to have a woman on the side. Now, these are pastors. These are bishops in the house of God. And we wonder sometimes, why does God have this scripture in the Bible? I mean, and, you know, to cover these kind of situations, because people get into all sorts of things. Amen? So we were just absolutely dumbfounded about that. All right, what does it mean to be pure and ethical? What makes you and I impure? What makes us unclean? In Colossians chapters 2 and 3, I love Paul because Paul said we have to have a standard of conduct in the house of God. We have to have a standard of conduct. And he said that we need to be renewed in wisdom. I mean, how will you know what's pure, what's not pure? What's clean and what's not clean? We have to be renewed in knowledge and in wisdom. We need to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 11 mentions a number of things that can defile us or contaminate us. And I'm just going to go through them real quick here. Stop being deceived. People who continue to engage in sexual immorality, all of your sexual sins, fornication, adultery, sexual perversion, homosexuality, It also mentions fraud, greed, verbal abuse, extortion, swindlers. All of these things, God says, will not inherit his kingdom. Do you know people that are fraudulent, that cheat on their taxes, that do things that are just simply not above board? And maybe nobody knows about it but you and your accountant. But you know what? Guess who knows? God knows everything. And we think that we can hide things like that from him. But of course, we cannot. It always comes back to bite, doesn't it? It always comes back to bite you. What is considered right and good in his sight? When I became a believer, I didn't automatically know what was considered right. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know the Word of God. There were things that my parents taught me, but I didn't really know the Word of God. So it's not something that comes natural for you. You know, you got to get into the Word. You got to see what God's opinion, God's idea is about certain things to make your decision. The literal meaning of a pure heart is free from dirt or impurities. Free from dirt or impurities. Would you like to have a nice glass of orange juice? Add some water to that. What do you think that would taste like? Not very good, would it? Or take some water and put it in your coffee, your nice French roast coffee, you know. Oh, that would be horrible. So anything that has impurities in it, anything that has dirt in it, is just simply not acceptable. A pure heart deals with your attitudes. I think I mentioned this already. Your integrity. And it also deals with being single-minded, because the Word of God says a double-minded man gets nothing from the Lord. He's unstable. You know, he rocks back and forth. He's one day this way, the next day he's going this way. You know, he's right wing one day, he's left wing the other another day. He's double-minded. And a double-minded person will not receive anything from the Lord. We have to be single-minded, is what the Word of the Lord says. Remember the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the Israelites? In Genesis, it talks about the mixed multitude coming out with the Israelites. Now, these were people from other nations. These were people that weren't necessarily Jews. Some of them may have been, but they were not the, how do I say this nicely, kind of some of the bad people, the riffraff. I think one definition of that was the riffraff that came out of Egypt with the Israelites. And, you know, I believe that they contaminated, to some degree, the thinking of the Israelites. You know, they were murmuring. You know, all it takes is one person to start murmuring and complaining, and then it just goes around the whole congregation, you know, and everybody's in agreement. So all of the Israelites began murmuring and complaining, and I believe the mixed multitude had something to do with that. Why? It was a mixture. It was not pure. Amen? All right. Now, how does the Word of God cleanse us? If you have wrong thoughts in your life, of course, we all know this, the Word of God can actually cleanse us. We just have to be willing to be changed by the Word of God. If the Word of God says, love your neighbor, love your enemy, you got to be willing to do that. You can't pick and choose. The Word of God is not a smorgasbord where you decide that you're going to take this and leave that. You have to take all of it together. How can I know if I have sin lurking in my heart? Don't you know we all have secret sins? We all do. If we're human, we all have secret sin. And God will use a person. He'll use your baby. He'll use somebody to test you and to show you exactly what's in your heart. Now, this was probably 25 years ago. My oldest son brought home a woman of a different race. And I thought I was cool. You know, I thought I was okay with everything. And I said, what? I'm just being real, y'all. I'm just being real. I was raised in the South, about 60 miles from the coast off of South Carolina. So my parents never taught me to hate, but, you know, there were a lot of differences during the period of time that I grew up. There was separation. There was segregation. And I thought to myself, what is my oldest son doing? What does he think? But the Lord convicted my heart because I didn't know that was there. I did not know that that was there until I was presented with the situation. And hallelujah, God's grace is sufficient for us. I was able to repent. God changed my heart. And he did. He did exactly that. He changed my heart and just enveloped me in love for her. And just a sweet person. Sweet girl. Sweet girl. But you know, we look out the outside, you know. We look at this stuff. And we judge one another by the color of our skin and where we live. What's our social background? Where did we go to college? Where did we go to school? You know, we judge ourselves on all of these things that doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the kingdom of God. Amen. God's after our heart. That's all he sees. That's all he sees is our heart. And that set me free when I discovered in Acts chapter 17 when it says that we all come from one blood. Not two, three, or four. We all come from one blood, so that means he made all of us. Amen? I'm not a Klingon. I don't have green blood. You know? But we treat each other like, sometimes like we're Klingons, or we're from a different planet. We're all from the same planet. God made us all. So that set me free. He is no respecter of person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So ask the Lord to show you if there are hidden things. And by golly, he will show you. If there are hidden things in your heart that you are not aware of, ask him to show you. And thank God he doesn't show us everything at one time. But, you know, deal with this, okay? And come back next week or next month or whatever, and then deal with this, okay? You know, he does it. That's because of his love for us and his grace for us. He knows that we would quit and give up if we had to deal with everything at one time. But ask the Lord to show you your heart, and he will do that. I don't want secret sins to rule over me. Never, ever. It takes prayer. It takes hiding the word, once again, putting it in that vault and keeping it in your heart there. It takes meditation. And then it takes the Holy Spirit to actually change our attitudes, our behaviors, and our motives. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord actually gives you a new mindset. And that's what we're after. We're after a new mindset. God, I want to think the way you think. I want my behavior to be the way you desire for it to be. Amen. And even when we miss it, praise God, all we do is repent, because even as far as the east is from the west, you know, he's forgotten our sins. So why should we keep bringing them up? Why should we walk in condemnation? We should not walk in condemnation, because there's none in him. If we're in Christ, there's no condemnation. You cannot have wrong things in your heart and live right. You cannot have right things in your heart and live wrong. His word works simply if we would obey it. And you know, he even demands that we be holy. And there are a lot of folks that say, I can't live a holy life. I can't be holy. But God says, be holy, even as I am holy. He wouldn't tell us to be holy if he hadn't given us what we need to be holy, to live a holy life. He desires truth where? On the inside. Truth in the inward parts. You know, there are some people that are so mischievous and so, there's no truth in them. You know, everything they say is a lie. You can just know that off the bat. But God says, I desire truth in your innermost being. Let that truth of his word come forth. Psalms 51:6. That's where that scripture is. The word of God will eliminate fear in your life. 1 John 4:18 also. Love never brings fear. If we're walking in the perfect love of God, there's no fear attached to it. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. Why do you fear certain things? You're fearful because you are afraid that you're going to be punished in some form or another. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment from our hearts. So that's why we need to pray, God, perfect your love in me. As his love is being perfected in us, it drives out all of our fears. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. And in Judges, it talks about 1:9, it talks about facing our fear. Even when you're scared, even when you are afraid, what do? You go through things in the fear, trembling and whatnot. I can remember my first piano recital. I was so scared, my knees actually knocked. They actually knocked. I was so fearful. But you know what? I did it afraid. I did it scared. And my teacher told me at the end, you did fine. You did a great job. So there are things that we have to face, and we go ahead and face them, knowing that God is with us. 1 John 1:9, what about wrong actions? But if we freely admit our sins, when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time. Anybody ever been caught in a sin and the Lord just showed his light on that thing? And what'd you do with it? You know, did you turn and look the other way? No, I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. If you freely admit your sins, when his light is shown, shines on it, then he is faithful to forgive us each and every time. We need to remember that. God is just to forgive us of our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A good friend of mine was building a house, and she's a believer, and the person building the house was a believer also. And she began to complain about all the things that were going wrong during the building process. How he wasn't doing this, and this wasn't right, and that wasn't right. And I was sitting there listening, and I was listening, and I was listening. So I had a dream, and in that dream, I found myself sitting in a fireplace. No fire. I was just sitting in front of the fireplace with soot all over me from head to toe. And the Lord was telling me, you're contaminating yourself by listening to this. And you need to tell her to shut up. not in those words, but move on. Amen? Because sometimes our friends can contaminate us with conversations. And we sit there and we agree with them. And we're just as guilty. We're just as guilty. Help us, Lord. All right. So Jesus is our Passover lamb. He's been sacrificed for us. We should be quick to get any wrong or sinful actions out of our lives. Don't let things linger and linger and linger. If you know there's an issue in your life you need to deal with, don't let it continue. Be quick to allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside you, because that's what he is. He's a paraclete. Allow him to come alongside you and help you. He's our helper. You know, why don't we call on him? Why don't we ask him, come alongside you to help me? You're my comforter. Help me. You're my teacher. You're the convictor of our sins. Help me, Holy Spirit. Amen. freedom and hope. I'm thankful that the Word of God brings us freedom and it brings us hope. Psalm 119:45. I will walk with you in complete freedom, for I seek to follow your every command. And, you know, when we serve God, there's a freedom. There's just simply freedom in serving God. When we choose to believe what God has said about us, there is freedom. Choose to believe what the Word says, not what your parents said or your friends say or whoever, your teachers or whoever. Learn to read and say about yourself what God's Word says about myself. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Say whatever the Word of God says about you, and don't believe anything that's contrary to that. We must come into agreement with God and not our feelings. Agree with what God says and not our feelings. And He gives us, His promises gives us hope. I had three friends from my elementary school days. All four of us went to college together. Went through middle school and on through college together. And I was always the oddball. Kind of, you know, I didn't kind of follow what everybody else was doing. I followed what I guess the Lord was putting in my heart. They all wanted to be physical ed teachers, and there's nothing wrong with being a physical ed teacher. I didn't want to teach physical ed. So they said, well, you'll never get a job when you graduate because you're not a teacher. You know, but anyway, I majored in sociology, and I knew that I'd get a job. God had always answered my prayers. Even as a little kid, God would answer my prayers. You know, we'd have conversations in the backyard and on the grass. I always talked to God as a kid. So they told me I'd never get a job. But when we all graduated, guess who had the job first? I was hired in February. We graduated in May. I was hired in February. They were, and by the federal government. 12 men came to campus, interviewed me. I was scared as the Dickens, these male interviews. You know, I'm just a 22-year-old kid. And I was hired by the federal government. And, you know, they were still looking for jobs in May. But I was always the odd one out. And I know that I know that I know that God's hand was on my life. Even then, His hand was on my life. He was directing my steps, and I didn't really know it, but He was directing my steps even then. So praise God for that. It's okay to be a little different from your friends. It's okay to be a little odd, okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came to restore not only our power, and we do have power, y'all. We need to exercise that power. But He also came to restore our value. We are valuable to God, each one of us, no matter where you live, if it's in Ketchikan or in Georgia or California, whatever part of the world you live in, we all are valuable to God, and we need to remember that. He told the woman that was caught in adultery, what did He tell her? Go and sin no more. Take responsibility for your action. Take responsibility for what you've done, but don't do it anymore, right? He didn't condemn her. And that's the kind of love our Father has for us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I mean, if it was the church leadership today, you know, they would throw us out, you know. They would throw you out immediately. No questions asked, but we need to be in the business of restoring people. There are a lot of people that have fallen, amen. There are a lot of ministers that have fallen. And rather than talking about them and saying how they did this and they did that, be an instrument of righteousness and healing to them, to bring healing back to them. Because they're human just like we are. You know, they're no different from us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for restoration and for healing. Choose to sin no more. Choose to sin no more. And know that you do not have to wrestle with sin in your life. If there are areas in your life that you really, really have a problem with, Well, maybe get some help. You know, if you're not able to do it yourself with your prayers, fasting, whatever you need to do to break this cycle in your life, get some help from a pastor, a counselor, a friend, or somebody. But God wants to see us whole, and he wants to see us restored. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. God says, we were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Verse 12. It is true, freedom allows us to do anything, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is good for us. Some things we do are simply not good for us. I'm free to do as I choose, but I choose to never be enslaved to anything. Amen? Don't be enslaved to sin. Through grace, we've been given power to reign in life and operate in self-control. So we can all operate in self-control if we want to. Amen. What else does the Word of God does for us when it comes to purity and living an ethical life? It brings in life and it brings in light. Psalm 119:130. The teaching of your Word gives light, so even the simple can understand it. Praise God. In other words, it breaks open his word within us until the revelation light comes, and then that light shines out. And that's why I said at the beginning, you know how important it is to get into the Word of God, even if you don't always understand what you're reading, if you don't fully understand it or comprehend it, the revelation, the Holy Spirit will breathe on that thing, bring life to it, and light. Light will come forth as a result of it. And sometimes you don't even realize that you've had a different mindset or a change of mind about something. Oh, when did that happen in me, you know? God sneaks up on you sometimes and does these little things for you and I. We can have a pure and an ethical life. I want you to remember that. We can live pure and we can live ethically in this age, the 21st century, when the world system says you can't, God says we can. Your word have I honored, or stored up, rather, and treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. I hope you all memorize scripture. It's so important to memorize scripture. And if you've not done that, begin doing it, because that's the only way you're really going to get it in your heart. And then you chew on it. You chew on it like a cow, you know, chewing the cud. You chew on it. You think about it. You meditate on it. And then the Holy Spirit brings the revelation to you. Amen. That's how it works. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to bring that revelation to you. You didn't think of it yourself. The Holy Spirit did it. You know, a lot of times we take credit for things we didn't do, you know, but it was the Holy Spirit himself. That's his job. His job is to glorify Jesus, and Jesus glorifies the Father. Amen? Amen. A pure heart, remember, is a heart where there's no mixture. No mixture. It's pure. It's good. It's worked in us and through us by the power of the Holy Ghost. And remember the scripture in Malachi where it talks about the refiner's fire and the full of soap. You know, he's taking that soap and he's washing us and he's cleaning us up with his word. Amen. Job 14:4 says, who can bring purity out of an impure person? Who can bring purity? Now, this was one of Job's counselors, I believe it was. I don't think it was Job speaking, but it says, well, it might have been Job. I've forgotten. I'm sorry about that. But he says, who can bring purity out of an impure person? Nobody but God, right? We just have to be willing to allow him to take out the impurities and make us that pure vessel of righteousness and holiness. And lastly, I'm about done here, I want you to remember that we are peculiar. We are a peculiar people. So when people look at you differently and wonder about you, we are peculiar. This place, Earth, is not, this planet Earth is not our home. But you know, we set up residence here. Like, this is where we're going to permanently stay. This is our permanent resting place. This place is not our home. We're what? We're passing through. We're aliens. We're foreigners. All of us. I don't care where you live. We're all foreigners to this place. And just remember that. Some of us store up our treasures on this earth. We're storing up this, and we're storing up that, and we're storing up that. Why? It's one of these days it's all going to rust and be done away with. Now, I'm not saying not be wise and, you know, put aside some money or some whatever the Holy Spirit might lead you, water, because, you know, they're telling us, the government is telling us that we need to supply water. In case there was some major catastrophe to happen, that we should have, you know, first aid kit and blankets and all this stuff. But, you know, there are some people that are just storing up stuff for themselves. It's going to rust. It's going to pass away one day. Let our treasures be heavenly. Know that our treasure in heaven, it's a heavenly thing. It's a spiritual thing. Amen? So let's take it to heart and know that we are different. We have citizenship in two places. We got citizenship in the United States of America, but our real citizenship is heavenly. Our real citizenship is from above. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. And stand for righteousness. I always tell our people, well, Michael and I pastored for 25 years, and we've turned our church over to our sons, and we've been in transition, so we know what transition is about. There are a lot of folks that are in transition today, but let the Word of God always have final authority in your life. The Word of God should have final authority in your life. Not what the politician says, not what your best friend says from elementary school. Let the Word of God have final authority. And when you vote, I'm going to go a little sideways here. When you vote, your vote should reflect that the Word of God is your final authority. Y'all hear me? Because we got believers voting for people that are not supporting godly principles. And it makes me angry. And I believe God is angry. A righteous indignation about the way some of us as Christians are walking and voting and not speaking up for what is right and for what is just. Everybody else has come out of the closet. We got Secret Servant agents that are Christians that are still in the closet, afraid to come out and afraid to speak the truth of the Word of God because somebody's going to be offended. They don't care about offending us as believers, so why can't we stand up for righteousness and justice? What's the foundation of the kingdom? The foundation of the kingdom is righteousness and justice. God is a just God. He is a righteous God. So we need to be more vocal. We need to stand up for truth. We need to stand up for what's ethically right according to the Word of God. We need to stand up with purity. A vote against righteousness is a vote against God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think that I am about done. Anybody have any comments or any questions they'd like to ask? Do y'all still love me? Does anybody still love me? I still love you. Amen. Amen. No comments? What?
Somebody just said it was excellent.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Thank you. Thank you. Give God the glory. Say what now? You do? Okay. Like my grandson, when he comes home from preschool, you know, I got a star today. I got a thumbs down today. I much prefer the stars than the thumbs down. Amen. Y'all know what he's talking about, right? Some of this grace teaching that's going around the body of Christ. Oh, you can do what you want to do. You only repent one time or whatever when you get saved, and you don't have to repent after that. God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough. Well, if you really love God and have a heart for him, you want to please him. You want to do things that are right in his sight. You don't want to continuously be out there in sin. If you're continuously in sin, I don't believe that you were even saved to start with. You know? There should be a transformation. I said that at the very beginning. A transformation takes place in your life when the Lord is truly the Lord, when God is truly the Lord of your life. A transformation should take place in your life. Amen. Well, I've enjoyed this. It's been fun for me. I hope that you all have gotten something out of it.